Boy, I know that that is one of your favorite hymns. And if by chance you are tuning in, which you ought to be doing, I hope that you enjoy that hymn. Come unto me, based on Matthew 11:25, and I will give you rest. This evening we go back to the Old Testament survey in the book of Exodus. And our title message is Confirmation of the Call of the Man of God. Confirmation of the Call of the Man of God. Now, incidentally, when I'm speaking about the call of the man of God, I am not speaking exclusively to the call of man, to the man of God, to a specific sphere of labor. I'm speaking about the call of any Christian. So don't just limit the call or the confirmation of the call of the man of God to a pastor or elder or deacon or anybody else, but you should consider these notes in the light of your calling if you are called to salvation. The Bible is not written to any particular office bearer, even though the instructions at times can apply. But the Bible is written to the human race, and therefore you should take it in that light. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but, and this is the problem whenever God calls this little word, and it's a dangerous word. It should not enter our vocabulary when the Lord calls us to serve him or he calls us as a Christian. It's a little word, but it is a word of rebellion. But, behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. In our last study in the Old Testament survey of Exodus, we showed, we shared on the call of the man of God featuring Moses. We saw that the call of the man of God is personal. God called Moses by name. In fact, he called his name twice. And we alluded to that and said, whenever God calls your name twice, something serious is at hand. We said that the call of the man is God is a peculiar call. No other calling in life has the peculiar marks like a Christian. We are called to be holy. It says no office, no other calling, you're called to be holy. But the call of the Christian is a holy calling. It is a peculiar call. We are called to be children of God. That's our calling. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he calls them saints. We are called to be saints. It's peculiar. Third, we said that the call of the man of God is a present call. God never says, come tomorrow, or tomorrow I'll come back to you, because tomorrow is promised to no man. It's a present call. Come now. That's what God said to Moses. And every time you hear the gospel, as Mason rightly said tonight, every time you hear this gospel, you are receiving a present call, not only to salvation, but to faithfulness and to commitment. This time you will be considering Moses, the man of God, and the confirmation of his call. And whenever God calls, he supplies the various aids to confirm and complement his calling. I will look at some of those aids or graces, if you chose to use that word. I don't want to say anything. I really don't. I'm doing my best to do what God called me to do. I think we should do our best in what God has called us to do. That's all I'm going to say. Nobody can fault me for not doing what God has called me to do. And I will speak about it. And I will speak about it no matter how my wife might shake her head. And I'm glad I get to this subject tonight, because I will be speaking about it. And this is not just a message on words. It is instruction, it is rebuke, and it is exhortation to the men in our church. And because this call is extended to you also. And as we considered, we said that God accompanies the call with aids. And one of those aids is the diaconate that we should consider. In verses 1 through 4, Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, for the first thing we see, of course, that God used to confirm Moses' call was supernatural signs. The first was the rod in Moses' hand that would be transformed into a serpent. The Egyptians, as you may know, were quite familiar with serpents. Moses' miracle was to show the transforming power of God. Only God can transform a dry stick to a living creature. And by the way, this is what God does with us. He transforms a dry stick into a living creature. For if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. And these signs were not thrown around. They were deliberate signs. That's why they're called signs, because they point to something deeper. But there's a message from this experience of Moses. And I say this, many times we have in our hands, just like Moses did, the things that can be useful, and we don't see those things that are useful. We make excuses. Sometimes we have at our disposal those things that God can use in our lives. I remember I told Brother Othniel I was going to call his name tonight. And of course, nobody wants to hear their name called as an example. But I remember Brother Othniel, when he first began to come to our church, I asked him point blank, what kind of work do you do? He may remember this. You know, he was a little boy like Silas. And I asked him pointedly, what kind of work do you do? He said to me that he is some accountant with some school or some university. I looked at him and says, good, you are the man I'm looking for. Right now, Brother Othniel is practically in charge of the finances of the church. And right in our hands, there was someone who could be used by God, and we didn't see. And because sometimes you in the church don't talk to people. And I talk to people. And one of my roles as a pastor is to speak to people, to talk to them. And you should get used to this. If you are a man of God, talk to people. It will help advance the work in the church. You are the man that I'm looking for, I said to him. And right now, you see, God has allowed us to benefit from the gifts of this young man. God validated Moses with signs. And before the completion of Scripture, God validated the call of his servants by granting them ability to perform signs. You know the text in the book of Hebrews, I think it is chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his will. God does that. But in Exodus 7, verses 10 through 12, Moses' magicians were able to mimic Moses' sign. Moses cast down his rod, and it became a serpent. The magicians, the Egyptian magicians, cast down their rods, and their rods became serpents as well. And you know this, but Aaron's rod swallowed up the magician's rods to show the supremacy of the true God over the Egyptians' gods. That's why. God allowed Moses' rod, and it's really a figure of judgment upon the gods of Egypt. God was bringing judgment on the gods of Egypt. And you know something, this country that has been so good to me, I made my living here, but this country is headed for serious trouble. You see 9/11, what happened? Something serious is going to happen in this United States of America. Mark my word. If it don't happen in my lifetime, it certainly would happen in the younger generation. Every superpower city was brought to their knees, all. And be careful with this country. The way it is flaunting its sin with homosexuality and whatever these letters, I don't even know what they stand for. Everybody have their liberty to flaunt their homosexuality and their behavior, and you can't say anything. This country is headed for serious trouble. And the outside world is just making a mock of us. But the Lord warns about people who are looking to make signs a necessity today, saying in 2 Corinthians 11, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And do not marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." If you're interested in the supernatural, the charismatic movement, if you're interested in those things, it is very dangerous. The only sign that God employs today is the sign of the cross, Jonah. Now, you may have friends or loved ones in this movement. You should pray your heart out that God would release them from this demonic evil. God tells us this. We do not look for these physical props to validate the call of a man of God. We look to the word of God. It is there where we find the substance. But God also gave Moses the purpose for signs. Look at verse 5 in Exodus 4. And this is always the purpose for signs, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, have appeared unto thee, the covenant-keeping God, that they may believe. Not that they will believe, but that they may believe. Because signs never, ever make anyone believe. That they may believe. And signs will not make people believe. John 20, verses 30 and 21. The Bible gives the same purpose for signs that Jesus did when it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." The Lord furnished Moses with two signs. Verse 6, the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thy hand into thy bosom." When he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Dreadful disease, incurable disease, that Moses took out his hand, and his hand was leprous. Leprosy, as you know, is a picture of sin. But God was showing that he has power to cure sin. God at times may allow us to get sick, and he may allow us to get to die. Like when the COVID came, I'm sure a lot of Christians caught it and they lost their lives. God might not necessarily spare us from the pandemics of this life, because this world is cursed by sin. And one of the ways God used in removing people from this earth is through disease. And that's why we should ever be prepared to meet or God. But God anticipated the unbelief of the children of Israel and provided a third sign for Moses to perform in verse 9 of Exodus chapter 4. It says, "And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon dry land. And this is another aim at a god of Egypt, one of the main gods, the Nile River. To the Egyptians, the Nile River was a source of life. It was a god. They worshiped the Nile very regular. You find that Pharaoh was by the river. What he's doing there? He's worshiping. And turning the Nile into blood was a deliberate judgment on the Egyptian gods, showing God's sovereignty over all gods. And by the way, this may have some significance to Jesus turning the water into wine in John chapter 2, but I wouldn't get in there. But the picture is basically the same. But what I'm trying to say is God granted aids to confirm the calling of his servants in those days and in our days. Moses was endowed with the performing of signs. God used another aid to bolster Moses' calling. And I'll tell you as I go on, he uses compatible brethren. We should never overlook compatible brethren. And that's why this evening I begin by sharing with you. You want some water, Pat?
Yes.
Could you give the sister a bottle of water, please? Sometimes it's dryness of throat. It's not COVID, so don't run. Different things cause us to be coughing all the time, the dust, the pollen, you know, and just aid our sister from her suffering. As we go on, the Lord furnished Moses with two other signs. The Lord said, furthermore, put your hand in your bosom, give us that sign. But as we go on, we see that God also gave compatible brethren, verses 10 through 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Now this has forced many commentators to say that Moses had a speech impediment. And I don't really know where these giants get these assumptions from. I don't know, Brother Presley. Sometimes when you read these men, it is better to dismiss what they're saying. I didn't read anywhere where Moses had a speech impediment. As a matter of fact, I read that Moses was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. So Moses is just making excuses here, just like you and I. Moses was no slouch. Moses went out and killed a man, you know, and then he was going back a few days later to kill the next one. And God stopped him in his tracks by using an Egyptian. And says, he asked Moses, who make you a judge and a ruler over us? So if Moses didn't have the ability to be a judge and a ruler, the man would not have asked him that. So these giants are talking about speech impediment. I don't think they know what they're saying. And sometimes we believe in them more than you believe in a local pastor. Compatible brethren, flesh and blood. And today you and I have hindsight. We can look back. But who are we to criticize the man Moses for saying what he's saying? He is flesh and blood, just as we are. No one is easily conformed to the will of God. Moses is making excuses just like we do. He's slow. We don't do God's will overnight. And sometimes it takes a long time for us to get the message. But the Lord has to bring us around to a place of usefulness, because we don't want to serve God. We don't want to be faithful. And God has to deal with us. So don't criticize Moses. Sometimes we have a very hard time in doing what we are called to do in the church. We don't want to do it. And I don't want to give any personal references, but I can. I can give many. But we don't want to do it. We don't want to go places where we are asked to go in this ministry here. We don't want to go. It's too far. I don't know where she lives. All those excuses when we are asked to serve God. At times, the Lord may have to deal with us again and again. But here, God used a compatible brother to aid his servant, verses 14 through 16. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well." And here we have that Moses, Aaron was a very eloquent speaker. And by the way, whenever you're going to represent God, you have to upgrade your vocabulary. You don't ever come and say, "Well, God gonna use me." No. You have to upgrade your vocabulary. Read books. Train yourself to speak proper. I have somebody in my life that always corrected me about verbs, when to use a past tense and a present tense verb. We take these things lightly. Improve your vocabulary. Improve your vocal cords that you can speak out. One saying, "Oh, God can use me anywhere." Yeah, God can use you and nobody hear you. And God said to Moses, "I know Aaron can speak well." You need to say that about some of us. The anger was kindled. And also, behold, he's coming forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. Now, if Moses had a speech impediment, what words he can put in this man's mouth that can speak well? "And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be even as he shall be unto thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God." Aaron and Moses were compatible on three counts. I'll give them quickly because it's just a survey. One, they were brothers. Two, they were from the same tribe, Levi. And Tyler answered this correctly last time. Three, they were sojourners together in Egypt. They were strangers. And because it's a survey, I am not going to elaborate. And you and I would not be compatible if we're not brothers. If we're not representing the same God, Levites. If we're not sojourners. If you're worldly, you and I can be always at odds. If all your focus is just this world, you and I wouldn't be compatible. And I say this again and again. We have a lot of us have a very strong affection for this world. And the things of this world take precedence over the things of God. In our lives, in the lives of our wives, and we would always be at loggerheads. In Exodus 6, verse 20, you can make a note of this genealogy. "And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses." There you see, they're brothers. "And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. One thing about our God is that he is bound to his word. He selects Aaron because he fit the criteria to work with Moses. He follows the principles of his word. He did not appoint an Egyptian to aid Moses because he was educated, but a brother a fellow Levite, a sojourner. And when seeking to use men in the ministry, we should follow biblical principles. If I see this, you should see it. The Lord has endowed us with various gifts to enhance the ministry. God prepared Aaron for the task at hand. But don't forget that Moses also had a wife. Not a man, a woman as his wife. And a son who were compatible with him. When Moses left for Egypt, they were right alongside him. Exodus 4:20. Look at it. And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass. And he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. You notice that the rod now becomes the rod of God and not the rod of Moses. It was surrendered to God. At times the Lord must deal with us over and over again. But here God used a compatible brother to aid his servant Moses. Verses 14 through 16. I read that to you already. So in looking at the confirmation, the call of the man of God, he saw some aids, signs. Second, compatible brethren. And three, finally, he uses common circumstances. And we read in verse 19, the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Now this verse suggests that it was not only Pharaoh who was seeking to kill Moses, but apparently there were many others. The text gives clarity. God said, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. Moses had a lot of enemies that were seeking him. But God brought certain circumstances about to make it clear to Moses that he can go. And God does this. He makes the way clear when he's calling us. And some of us have a way of creating our own circumstances. Somebody say a hurry dog eat raw food. And it's true. But he that gets an inheritance hastily will not be blessed. Mary and Joseph had similar circumstances in Matthew 2:19-20. We're told there, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. Of course, we see indeed that Jesus, the prophet, was raised like Moses. Both of them were called out of Egypt to do God's work. Here we see the perfect type in Jesus, who fled, not because of anything he did, but because Herod wanted to kill him. And he had to, Mary and Joseph had to get divine revelation for Jesus to come back. But here in Exodus 4:19, Moses is given the green light. Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life. God has a way, as I was saying this morning, of removing obstacles. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. favorite psalm of mine. The psalmist says in another place, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yeah, thou shalt diligently consider his place, shall not be. That's what the psalmist says in Psalm 37. God has a way of removing, using common circumstances to remove obstacles. And the worst thing, by the way, people can do is to get into the way of the church, or of get into the way of the ministry. It's a very bad thing to do. Down through the years, many thought that they could have thwarted and trifled with God, only to feel the bitter end. But the Lord can change direction through common circumstances in life. And at times, you and I don't see the circumstances. Sometimes the Lord might put us on a sick bed for many, many years until we get the message. He uses circumstances in life. So the path was cleared for Moses. In verse 20, and Moses took his wife and his sons and set. And Moses took the rod in his hand. And Moses is ready to return to the land of Egypt. Now, here in this text, we see another truth, and you've heard it many times, that when God calls a man, he calls the whole man. It says, and they two shall be one flesh. That's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2. The scripture says there should never be tug of war between a husband and a wife about the things of God. And there is tug of war in our church with couples. Tug of war means two different directions. A couple is going in two different directions. And that's no good. Everything in the scripture defies this. When God calls a man, he calls his wife. I think it was Pastor Tom Maharis. I mentioned him tonight. I told myself when I was about to do something, God said, because we were on the pastoral council. He said to her, yeah, you don't want to go? Well, if God called him, he called you too. Didn't take her very long to learn that when God called me to them, if he's calling me, he's calling you. Otherwise, he ain't calling me. Nowhere. And a lot of men end up in office that should not be in office because their wives are not behind them. And you hear me say this again and again. It's not going to change. You can't change a spouse. You can never do that. God has to do that. And at times, God might be dealing with you and not the spouse. God might be bringing you into conformity of his will. And he may be preparing her for judgment or the other way around. And we just don't know. We just don't know. God is God. But the point I'm trying to make is that there should not be tug of war. I didn't see Zipporah fighting with Moses. I ain't going. The Bible says he took them. Moses took his wife and his sons with him. I don't read that he was dragging them along. He took them with him. In the same chapter, the wife of Moses contended with him because he failed a spiritual duty. Failed to circumcise his son. And the wife had to chastise the husband. And sometimes it is needful for wives to correct their husbands in a spiritual manner. But if they're not converted, how can they correct their husband? They need correcting themselves. Verse 21, and the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go. Can you imagine hearing this? You can preach till the cows come home, I will harden their hearts. This is what God said to Isaiah. God called Isaiah and God told Isaiah what he was going to do. And Isaiah asked, how long? And God says, how long? Until the cities be wasted and there's no inhabitant in the land. Until I remove men far, yet a tenth shall remain and eat from the tail tree. A remnant, a small amount would remain. And Isaiah had to comfort himself, Sister Elmira, in a few that God was going to save. And you can read that in Isaiah chapter 6, by the way. In case you think that I'm guessing what I'm saying. I'm not guessing. But God said he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And Romans 9 tell us why God did this. God hardened Pharaoh's heart so that his power would be manifested and that Pharaoh would serve as an example to us today. Here we see that signs do not produce faith. It's quite the contrary again. The more people see, the more they stiffen their necks to the word of God. Hear what the word of God says in Numbers. You remember that text? I'll read it to you. I have it here. In Numbers 14, 22 and 23, the word of God says, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Wow. This is the people of God in the wilderness. And this should serve a warning to those congregations who are seeking signs. It says, because these men have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear to their fathers. He's talking about these people see all the signs, the glorious signs performed, didn't make them believe. So this is our message, brethren, this evening, under our main head, in our survey in Exodus, Moses, the man of God, the confirmation of his call, God gave aids to confirm this man's call. And I said one of these aids, it was what was supernatural signs, three distinct signs. But we must not look for signs today. The Bible is completed. He gave Moses comparable brethren. This is what we look for today. Comparable brethren, men of like mind. And by the way, this is a good insight for our consideration of this couple that we are observing over there in Lusaka. This is a good observation for that. Compatible brethren, the man with his wife. We look at this, the man's ability to submit to pastoral leadership. Does he have this? And so far we have seen this thing, these things. So he gave Moses this, Aaron, his wife, and his son. He showed common circumstances to Moses. When he removed those who wanted to kill Moses. Brethren, we may be different in concluding. We may be different here in our church in the things that we like to eat and drink. We differ. But in the ministry, we ought to be compatible people. In the church, we ought to be compatible. We should not see a brother weighed down with duties and do not seek to lend a hand. And this, unfortunately, has been troubling us. Our diaconate has become shorthanded and may even be more shorthanded. And up to this point, not one man has come forward and said, Pastor, I see there's a there's a shortage, and do you need help? Not one. It's like wait there. You think I can beg you? Wait there. You think I can beg some of you to come here and aid? And this last week and the week before, I was out there sweeping the sidewalk. You think that this church should be like that with all these grown men in here? You think that this church should be like that? Not one. You should be compatible. And I don't want to hear you telling me anything. I'm speaking about the call of the man of God and the confirmation of the call. And one of the points I use, men that are compatible. We should be compatible. We should be of one mind. Today, the people of God, the people of God have all that is needed to serve the Lord Jesus. We don't have to look for manifestations. Or sometimes you may even hear the burden is put upon a man who may have just got in from work and have to trot all the way to Brooklyn, and there are people close by. There are men close by. That really burns me up. Are we compatible? I don't know. Are these messages helping us? Eddie? You understand what I'm saying? And I stand to what I said this morning from the pulpit. You probably hear my closing remarks. Let's be compatible in the ministry. We have all we need. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. That's what we have. The Comforter. The Paracletos. The one who comes alongside the aid to help us to do these things. To help us get up early in the morning. We can do it. 7 o'clock. Do the job. Go. And take these things to heart. The only thing to look for in a person who is called to the ministry is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Those signs. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, meekness, gentleness. Without, there's no law. God has given us every aid to serve him. And I trust, even if you're listening at a distance, you may not be here sitting down looking at me, but I'm talking to you too. Because you're part of the problem. And may the Lord help us to understand when we read the Bible, it is speaking to us. So, Brother Presley, why don't you come as I close in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Our Father, Lord, we have looked at the confirmation of the call of a man of God. Am I called to salvation? Am I called to service? These are some things, Lord, that shall prick our conscience this evening. May you help us to understand them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.